Following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. For the next hour, we will be bringing you the updates, the information you need to stay healthy. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet. So Janet's looking at me. What are we going to talk about? Well, what would doctors ever do if they didn't have people like with high blood pressure or sugar issues or cholesterol issues, aches and pains, arthritis? I mean, I would think that pretty much sums up the bulk of what they see on a regular basis. I mean, they'll see patients that come in with a cold, bronchitis. But I think for the most part, it's the other diseases that are called the diseases of aging, you know, chronic illnesses that have not been helped much through pharmaceutical science. And my answer to that question, what would doctors do? Well, what they should do, what they should do is keep people healthy. But they wouldn't know where to begin because the whole system is designed around a chief complaint. In other words, if, you know, I've always said just because you feel good doesn't mean you're not sick. But in the realm of mainstream medicine, just because you feel good means you are healthy. And that's not necessarily so. So the whole system is designed, you have to come in with a complaint. Now, clearly, it's been modified a little bit because high blood pressure has no symptoms. So they say, come in, have your blood pressure checked. High blood sugar may have no symptoms in the early stages, or especially if you're really checking for the earliest stages, meaning insulin resistance, not going to have symptoms. Well, I take that back. Some of the symptoms of insulin resistance could be high blood pressure. Some of the symptoms of insulin resistance could be high cholesterol. And that syndrome or that collection of symptoms has been termed metabolic syndrome or insulin resistance syndrome or syndrome X. Probably the most common issue facing Americans based on just the number of drugs they take to address those issues. You know, how many people are on medication to lower blood sugar, to lower blood pressure, to lower cholesterol? I bring this up because they've created more business for physicians, and it remains to see whether it's going to pay off or not. And what I'm referring to now is a landmark study, so-called landmark study. I think it's called a landmark study by the people that did the study, the National Institute of Health. And it was probably a good study. I think we all know that the goal for blood pressure treatment, at least, was to get people down to 140 over 80. 140 being the systolic pressure and 80 being the diastolic pressure. And the goal of this study was to see, well, one of the goals, I guess, was to see if people did better if they lowered the systolic blood pressure a little bit lower, from, in other words, from 140 to 120. Maybe another goal of the study was to see if they could sell more blood pressure medication. That remains to be seen as far as whether the benefits that were described in the study will translate into the benefits for the general population. Because there are a lot of studies that say great things about whatever their goal is, and when you introduce it into the general population, it doesn't always pan out the way the study said it would.
Very, very important information for our listeners, Dr. Slavin, because it is a relatively common thing when people come to see me that they can be on certainly one, and in many cases, three different blood pressure medications, and that their physician has a specific number goal in mind. And then when from time to time the person's blood pressure reaches that goal, they don't feel well.
What would you say from your own observations, and I'm not sure you can answer this question, is the most common medication for lowering blood pressure that you see physicians putting patients on? Anything come to mind?
Metoprolol is...
Okay, a beta blocker.
Okay.
And, I mean, that's a good category drug. There are basically three major categories of drugs. You have the beta blockers, the ACE inhibitors, and calcium channel blockers. And you also have diuretics that can be used. But I want to, before we get into the main thing about high blood pressure and whether to lower it to that extent, but more importantly, how to lower it to that extent.
And boy, do I have ideas about that. And it might not necessarily include a pharmaceutical.
Now, I just want to read off, and this is published data by the drug companies about metoprolol, the common reactions, and this is the issue with lowering blood pressure unnaturally. Common reactions to using a beta blocker, in this case, metoprolol: fatigue, dizziness, diarrhea, itching, a rash, depression, shortness of breath, and a slow heart rate. Some of those reactions are expected because one of the ways that a beta blocker works, it slows the heart rate down. So naturally, bradycardia, you'd expect that. The dosage of the medication in part is determined by the heart rate. You do not want to slow the heart rate below 50 beats a minute. But here's the real issue with this commonly used category, beta blockers, and specifically we're talking about metoprolol. More serious reactions can happen. Congestive heart failure. Heart block, meaning a more severe arrhythmia. Cardiogenic shock, meaning you've lowered the blood pressure so much, the heart isn't getting enough blood flow. There are consequences to stopping the medication abruptly.
Never. I tell people never, never, never.
Even to the point, you know, it can exacerbate angina, can even cause a heart attack. And why would that be? Well, if you're taking it for high blood pressure, and you withdraw that damper on your blood pressure, the blood pressure might shoot up, and that rebound may cause a heart attack. Same thing, true. You know, the heart is being, what's a good way? I'm trying to think of
artificially
an
manipulated.
Well, no, I'm thinking of a horse and buggy, and you're pulling on you're controlling the horse with the reins, and you're holding the reins back so the horse doesn't go fast. The minute you let go of the reins, the horse takes off. Well, the minute you remove the restraints on your blood pressure and your heart rate, you can get ventricular arrhythmias. Raynaud's phenomenon can be caused by this.
Very interesting. I didn't realize that.
Cold extremities.
Right.
Gangrene. Now, why is this? Well, it's reducing blood flow to the extremities, so it can have these complications, bronchospasm, hepatitis, so it can affect your liver. So think about that now. You're taking a blood pressure medicine that might affect your liver, and many of these people, because they have insulin resistance or syndrome X, are taking a statin drug, which can also affect your liver, and you have the risk of hepatitis, and probably compounded by taking a statin drug with it. It can cause agranulocytosis. That's a fancy term, and that just means a low white count. What do the white blood cells do? They're the blood cells that fight infection. So if you lower the white count, you may be predisposing yourself to infection. Autoimmune diseases like lupus can be associated with the use of this drug. So very rare. That's why doctors use this drug a lot, because they haven't really seen this in personal practice. But before I ever prescribe a drug to patients, you know, I look up, you know, the potential risks associated with the drug, which I'm willing to bet most doctors don't do, because if they did, I don't know how they could prescribe as many drugs as they do in good conscience. And then you look for ways to lower the blood pressure in a more natural fashion, unless it's super high. You know, if someone comes in with a blood pressure of, say, 200 over 140, you know, you don't have time to do the natural approach initially. Eventually, you want to get to it and hopefully get the patient off the medication, but you need to lower it, you know, quickly before the risk of stroke and heart attack might be seen. But if someone comes in with a blood pressure, let's say, of 160 over 95, 170 over 100, these are clear elevations in blood pressure, but I wouldn't categorize them as extremely serious in the short term. Left unchecked over time, yes, it will do damage. It will do damage to all your end organs. What are end organs? Your eyes, your kidneys, your heart. You know, just the high blood pressure damages all these organs. But in the short term, and by short term, I mean over a week, a couple of weeks, if you can take the time to address the issue, you might get it under control in more natural ways. So I know, Janet, you probably have discussions with the people you see about blood pressure.
And I often quote you, Dr. Slavin, because, again, I am not a medical doctor. I have lots of information about...
Wait, so I'm like a ventriloquist.
Oh, right. So I'm your little mouthpiece out there. Yes. Okay. So they talked to me about the negatives associated that with some possibly associated with drugs that they're taking. It's very interesting because they'll come and give me a list of symptoms. And I, of course, have asked them, what medications are you on? And I refer to the PDR. What are some of the more common side effects associated with these medications? And invariably, you can connect the side effect with the symptom that those people are having. And then, you know, the clients that I see typically would be extremely frightened if their blood pressure were 170 over 95. They would think of themselves at extreme risk of heart attack or stroke because of that blood pressure. So I hear music. And when we come back from this break, let's continue this discussion about what blood pressure should the people be very concerned about? What are some of the immediate natural things that they can do at home that are going to improve that blood pressure reading? That music means it's time for a break on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Zamorelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be back right away with information on regulating blood pressure. Stay tuned. At AMT Centers, testing is designed to give you important information before symptoms of disease appear. You get the information needed to evaluate potential disease development. With cutting-edge labs such as Singulex, Innovative, Genova, Doctors Data, and many more, you'll receive definitive evaluations of health issues before problems arise. Learn more at amtcenters.com or call 754-216-2332. 754-216-2332.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at janetcimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN.
And welcome back to Natural Doc Radio. We're talking today about blood pressure and how you have to be so careful about the medications, the combinations of medications, and if you are desiring withdrawing from those medications. So, Dr. Slavin.
Okay, so this was a National Institute of Health study that came out and suggesting there could be substantial benefit to lowering the systolic. The goal should be to get it down to 120. I think the goal now is to get it down to around 140. Of course, blood pressure is never static. It fluctuates. And the real problem is, you know, when you go to a doctor's office, it's been my experience that people's blood pressure tends to be higher than it might normally be. For some reason, I don't know why people feel stressed in a doctor's office.
Not even at a doctor's office. I once had a personal trainer take my blood pressure, and it was sky high just because I was very nervous about what was going to be expected of me. And for some reason, taking my blood pressure makes it go sky high. When I take it myself, all good.
And what I'm looking at is the summary of the study that was released by the National Institute of Health. and they leave out a lot of information that would be important for the discerning observer. What they did say, to get into the study, you had to be above 50 years of age. So they were looking at the benefits of lowering blood pressure in 50 years and older groups.
What can you expect with someone over 50? Yes, their blood pressure is going to be higher than someone in their 20s. I'm sorry. Given?
Well, they used to say an acceptable blood pressure was 100 plus your age, knowing that as you get older, blood pressure naturally goes up because you lose the elasticity in your blood vessels. So just think of a hose and a nozzle at the end. As you narrow the nozzle down, the pressure goes up. You're coming out of the nozzle. Well, same thing in your blood pressure. As the blood vessels narrow a little bit, the pressure goes up. If you lower the blood pressure with the narrow blood vessels, then you restrict blood flow to various organs, not the most important of which is the brain.
And I've had the heart.
And I've had patients actually experience issues with that, but let me just say, here's what they said. So,
but I have to interrupt. I'm so sorry, Dr. Slavin. I have to say, the drug companies were so clever, weren't they? To decide, we're going to focus our efforts on blood pressure medications, and we see that there's an aging population. And I'm going to say this probably took place in the mid to late 1940s. And then because it was a given, the aging population, they're going to have higher blood pressure. We're going to tell them it's a bad thing, and they're going to take our medication. And they did the very same thing with the cholesterol medications. The aging population is going to have an increased cholesterol level because their hormones are going to be decreasing. The manufacturer of hormones is cholesterol, so your cholesterol level is going to go up. Your immune system, your brain, there's a lot of different reasons why cholesterol is going to increase as you age. So I'm going to say that there was a very, very concerted, focused effort to pick out those things that were going to be issues for an aging population. Dr. Slavin.
Well, here's the important thing to realize. I know our listeners would agree with what I'm about to say. They say that in this trial, they wanted to carefully adjust the amount or type of blood pressure medication to achieve the target systolic blood pressure of 120 millimeters of mercury. Now, right off the bat, you know, this whole trial revolves around taking medications to reduce your blood pressure more. They didn't look at any other approach, and we'll get to those later. And what they found was, when they did this with medication, they saw reduced rates of cardiovascular events, such as heart attack and heart failure, as well as stroke, by almost a third, and the risk of death by almost a quarter, as compared to the target systolic blood pressure of 140. I find that, I like to see the real numbers. You see, whenever you hear rates, that's a manipulated number, rate. There's a lot of ways of manipulating the rate. You know, as I've mentioned before, if the death rate is from breast cancer is 15%, and I've discovered 100 people with breast cancer, so 15 of them die, I can lower the death rate from breast cancer by finding more women with breast cancer. So if I find another 100 women with breast cancer, the death rate just went down from 15% to 7.5%. You didn't save any more women. So I'd like to know how they, you know, came up. What are the real numbers associated with this? But I guess the thing that bothers me the most on this, and it's a shame that they're spending all this money, and by the way, this is all taxpayers' money, And all they're doing is looking at what drugs can be used to lower blood pressure and see what effect that has. They could have included in the study people in another group above the age of 50 that maybe cut sugar out of their diet or lost weight or corrected any magnesium deficiencies. Just a few things that come to mind.
Drank enough water.
And by the way, you know, everybody knows if you have high blood pressure, avoid salt.
Ha.
Avoid sugar.
Right.
Sugar is a more important risk factor than salt. And this is not the first time that the government has mentioned that blood pressure and deaths are way up. Does it sound like the government and the drug companies are working together?
Oh, I might get that impression. National Institute of Health, the government-funded organization overseeing the best ways to support health in the population. Support it with drugs. That's their position.
In another report that reflected the incidence of high blood pressure in the population between the years 2000 and 2013, they said there was a nearly 62% increase in high blood pressure during that period of time, probably coinciding with the switchover from less fats to more carbohydrates.
Yeah, low-fat diet, which is, along with the salt caution from the doctors, it's low-fat, non-fat choices, which certainly contribute to the increase in weight and the increase in inflammation. And I'm going to say, Dr. Slavin, what is one thing that sugar creates inside the body? There's elevated blood sugar, there's insulin resistance, there's an effect on your hormones, there's an effect on your blood pressure, and the underlying issue, inflammation. And so when you approach this problem by reducing inflammation across the board, different symptoms and health challenges just literally disappear. Very, very important to reduce inflammation.
So it's a shame that they didn't, and exercise too, by the way, lowers blood pressure. But they didn't do any of that. But the certain things you can do, before you even get into, well, drugs, I always say, are a treatment of last resort. So you want to do the things.
You want to have them available, but you don't necessarily want to jump on the drug bandwagon immediately. The other question that I have about this study, Dr. Slavin, is how many times did they take the people's blood pressure? What time of day did they take the people's blood pressure? I think that if you, my discussion with some of the clients that I see is, okay, your doctor took your blood pressure and it was 165 over 85. And he immediately suggested that you were candidate for using a blood pressure lowering drug. If that doctor had waited 10 minutes and taken the blood pressure again, might it have been the same? And if the doctor had waited 10 more minutes and taken three different blood pressures 10 minutes apart, were those blood pressures going to all be the same? I don't think so. What do you think about that?
Well, that definitely plays a role. Not to mention that as you get used to the procedure, when it's new to you, you know, you're going to be a little more stressed out. Your blood pressure will be higher. But as you get used to the whole study, that in itself will bring your blood pressure down. But that's why you have to look at the details of the study. And maybe someone will comment on it later on that can find the details of the study. Right now it seems, I can't find the detail. But right now all they want to do is promote lowering blood pressure by taking drugs.
So it's so interesting that the NIH study is going to make an impact in medical practitioners' lives, but there is no balancing information about dietary adjustment, water intake, exercise, weight loss, any of that. No balance here.
Now, we mentioned sugar as a really important cause of high blood pressure. And a lot of people say that food is a health food. And it's true, but you have to have the fruit that's low in fructose. That's the real issue.
People think that fruits and vegetables are equal, and they are not. It should be in the range of 7 to 10 servings of vegetables a day and as little as 2 servings of fruit a day. And the serving size in both cases is 1/2 cup.
I'm going to give you some examples of how much fructose are in some fruits, common fruits that people eat. One prune, a medium-sized prune, has 1.2 grams of fructose. Not that much, but how many people just eat one prune?
I don't think they do.
Right? They probably eat, what, 3 or 4 maybe?
Right.
So if you eat 3 or 4, say you eat 4, now you're over 5 grams of fructose.
Okay, and Dr. Mercola has a recommendation, I believe, about what your total sucrose intake for a day should be, and you might have reached that with 4 prunes. I hear music, Dr. Slavin. That means it's time for us to take a break. When we come back, more on balancing your diet to create a correct blood pressure for you. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. or visit us at amtcenters.com.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm here to tell you about Dr. Herb Slavin, the medical director of the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill. The Institute brings the latest natural approaches to health, supported by research. We offer a full range of traditional and holistic treatments. The primary goal of the Institute of Advanced Medicine is to give you, the patient, the information you need to stay healthy and live long. So before you feel sick, before you develop symptoms, come see the team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. You can call today, 954-748-4991, to learn all about the services offered at the Institute. Services from on-demand to chiropractic, from natural skin solutions to nutrition testing and support. 954-748-4991. You can visit drslavin.com to learn more. Welcome back to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. Today we're talking about ways that you can manage your blood pressure without being a slave to pharmaceuticals. Before we get back to the discussion, I just want to tell everybody about something that I've been working on and had as a goal for years and years and years. I have Janet's Best Formulas, and I've started out with two formulas, Jana Juice, which is eight different super fruits encapsulated. Very, very easy to use. If you want to add them to your smoothie in the morning, you just open the capsule and put it in your smoothie, and you're going to get the benefits of acai, goji, pomegranate, elderberry, a whole profile of really superior superfruits that you typically would not necessarily be getting in your fruit smoothie in the morning, and hopefully you're not having a very, very high sugar content fruit smoothie. But the other product is Janabiotic. So again, a very, very specific blend of probiotic ingredients, those probiotics and the superfruit. Using those combined, you have a dramatic antioxidant, anti-inflammatory effect. What I mentioned before, Dr. Slavin, about reducing inflammation, and here is a very, very easy way, comprehensive overall support for your immune system, very specifically reducing inflammation. So people can go to janazon.com, J-A-N-A-Z-O-N, and find out about Janet's Best Formulas, the Jana Juice and the Janabiotic. And you can come here to the Institute of Advanced Medicine and purchase Janet's Best products. And as we progress through Natural Doc Radio over the weeks to come, I will be able to give you information about other locations where you can find Janet's Best products. Dr. Slavin?
Hi, Janet. We're talking about high blood pressure, and we're talking about how to lower it. And probably one of the best ways and easiest ways, I guess I have to, it may not be easy for some people, is to lower your consumption of sugar.
And the fruit category is a very big offender. Certainly the grains and processed refined grains, very big impact on your blood sugar chemistry, but the fruits are a big issue as well. It's interesting. I did a lecture last night, and the people at the lecture were astonished that they shouldn't be drinking orange juice. And I said, well, it isn't just orange juice. It's apple juice. It's grape juice. It's any of the juices. Those are too high in sugar. And if you want to have a big glass of water and then maybe an ounce of the juice to put that flavor in your mouth, that's fine.
Now, I know our listeners you do a lot of research on their own. A good website is sugarscience.org.
Okay.
And one of the paragraphs on that website states that more than 8,000 independent studies on sugar and its connection to heart disease, type 2 diabetes, liver disease, and more. And here's an example. Over time, consuming large quantities of added sugar can stress and damage critical organs, including the pancreas and liver. And when the pancreas, which produces insulin to process sugar, becomes overworked, it can fail to regulate blood sugar properly. And we see that in the early stages, by the way. How many people complain of a mid-morning slump?
Oh, and I talk to people all the time about that mid-morning and mid-afternoon slump. It's because of the food choices you're making at breakfast and at lunch.
Right. So usually what happens is you've consumed too much sugar, which comes from, well, carbohydrate is converted to sugar. So if carbohydrates in any form is sugar. So, you know, you don't think of oatmeal as being sugar or bread as being sugar. I think you think of a donut as being sugar, maybe. But sometimes a lot of other foods, you don't, even a banana, which is extremely high in sugar, you don't think of it as sugar. And so when you consume that, your sugar goes up, then your body responds, putting out insulin. And most of the time, it may not, especially with sugar, because it shoots up your blood sugar so quickly, your body may overproduce the insulin to control it. And then your sugar drops in the mid-morning, and that's when you feel that slump. So large doses of fructose also can overwhelm the liver, which is in charge of metabolizing fructose. Therefore, the liver will convert excess fructose to fat. The fat is stored in the liver. Also, it goes into the bloodstream in the form of triglycerides, high cholesterol, and therefore leads to high blood pressure, extra body fat. So sugar is probably the most important thing we can try to cut back. Now, a very common fruit, especially this time of season, is watermelon. Now, I don't know what 1/16th of a medium watermelon is. I don't know how much that is. And I think that's part of the
problem. I see a lot of variation in size in those watermelons.
But that's part of the problem when you see these graphs. 1/16th of a melon, you know, how do you... You're supposed to cut up a whole melon and then take only 1/16th of it. Well, if you take 1/16th of it, you've got 11 grams of fructose, which really is not. And they're using these numbers because nobody eats 11 grams of fructose. I mean, 11 grams of watermelon. Well, actually, 1/16th of a watermelon, which is 11 grams of fructose, because 11 grams of fructose is only about 45 calories. So in the scheme of things, it's not a lot, but people don't stop there. And if watermelon were the only source of sugar for the day, that'd be perfectly fine. But it's not. You're just consuming sugar almost in everything you eat.
Are you consuming a seedless watermelon? And what does that mean?
Tell me.
Okay. GMO.
Oh, seedless watermelons are GMO.
You're
probably right.
How are they manipulating that it isn't a hybridization situation? It has to be more involved than that to grow seedless watermelons. And when you think about it, what was something, let's say 10 or 15 years ago, that was readily available as a tea that was very supportive and helpful for urinary tract function, kidney function, and bladder function, and it was watermelon seed tea. And now there are no watermelon seeds. And so a very, very lovely, herbal, gentle, effective approach to supporting urinary tract health has been removed very, very quietly. People celebrated the fact that they didn't have to deal with those pesky watermelon seeds, but they were such a benefit to your urinary tract.
So think about what this really means is somebody created a watermelon without seeds. Well, you may say, well, that's a great idea. You don't have to spit out the seeds. You don't have to, you know, worry about eating the seeds. But it also means that you don't have seeds to grow your own watermelons.
Right.
And the farmers don't have seeds to grow their own watermelons. So they have to go buy the seeds from somewhere. And where is that somewhere?
We don't know that very special seedless watermelon seed bank.
Avoiding processed foods, because that's where you're getting a lot of the sugar, and you don't even know it. They put sugar in it. They put fructose.
My statement to people is, in order to meet the taste buds in the American food marketplace, fruits have become much higher in sugar. People are looking for the sweetest fruits because our taste buds have been so perverted by artificial sweeteners that are 1,000 times sweeter than sugar. And we're looking for something super, super, super sweet. And so the fruits have been bred to have a higher sugar content.
Exactly. So we have to change the way we eat. So you've cutting out the sugar and fructose. How do you know? You have to read the labels. You have to cut out the grains and the trans fats.
Okay, people get very upset about this because then they're saying, well, what is left to eat, Dr. Slavin?
Well, we're going to get into that because we can help you there.
Yes, we can.
And then you want to avoid salt as well.
No.
Processed salt.
Okay, right. High quality sea salt, Himalayan salt, so many different types of salt. You use salt in moderation.
And you want to switch over to ideally organic foods. You want to reduce your processed foods. And you want to avoid non-vegetable carbohydrates. Vegetables are carbohydrates, but it's the non-vegetable carbohydrates you want to avoid, and that includes fruit.
Are beans categorized as vegetables? Because I talk about the benefits of beans all the time. We'll call them vegetables today.
No, I would categorize them as vegetables. What would you say? They're not fruits.
They're not fruits.
And they're not meat.
They're legumes. So yeah,
it's really a combination of protein and fat, a bean, but it's still a vegetable. Because it, it comes from a plant.
Okay. All right.
So we've removed the carbs. What do you replace them with? And this is really the key. And I think if you get into, eating avocados, you've made a good choice.
That's a fruit, but no sugar, or very low sugar, rather.
Is avocado a fruit?
Yes, sir, it is.
Is a tomato a fruit?
I know. Tomato is okay. Now that's interesting because it is part of the nightshade family, and so I'm actually going to say that they're a vegetable. And I know that there's a little bit of a discussion about that.
What's the definition of a fruit versus a vegetable?
The seed encompassed by the components of that.
There is a definition. There is some sort of way to distinguish the two.
Okay, so we'll look up the definition during the break.
It doesn't matter if an avocado is a fruit or a vegetable. That's a good food to add to your diet. And you can make it taste really good with the proper seasoning. Maybe using a little extra virgin olive oil and lemon.
Fabulous.
Something like
that. Absolutely delicious. And that music means it's time for our last break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We're talking about ways to change your diet to support a healthy blood pressure. We'll be right back.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill, and you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Janet Cimarelli is the licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through her remote counseling sessions, she works with many clients to help them manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She can help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. She offers sessions through telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she provides you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. And if you don't have time to listen to the whole show and you want to catch up on shows you might have missed, you can go to naturaldocradio.com and the shows are archived there. So you can listen at your leisure. If there's something that you want to kind of hear repeated, that's the place to visit, well, naturaldocradio.com.
And we archive them by date. So that's not by topic, because sometimes we don't have a topic.
We sometimes have several topics.
But today's show is about high blood pressure because of the study that came out. And we were saying, if you get rid of the carbs, start introducing foods like avocados, raw nuts, pecans, macadamia, but any raw nut is good.
So interesting, because one of the gentlemen last night said to me, when he eats roasted nuts, so typically what you're going to find in the grocery store, he has a digestive distress situation. When he eats raw nuts, he never has that. He feels fine. And I said, well, one of the reasons for that is the roasted nuts that have been in that package for an extended period of time, the fat has begun to change and there is a bit of rancidity, not necessarily enough that you could discern through taste, but your liver sure knows when that fat has begun to change negatively.
Well, the taste is covered up by the salt and other things.
Right.
And then I wonder too, if you roast a nut with its oils,
weight.
Do you create trans fats?
Okay.
Because you're heating the fats.
The fats absolutely are damaged.
So I would say it's raw nuts.
Okay.
Grass-fed meats and pasture-raised poultry. These are all better choices for people.
We had a lot of discussion about whether meat is a good choice for people. And because I was talking about eat right for your type, O blood type definitely should eat meat. But you want the absolute best quality, which is organically raised, no hormones, no antibiotics, and grass grazed.
Organic pastured egg yolks. Now here's a topic I'm going to mention briefly, and it's very controversial.
Oh, and that's are we going to have to fight about this?
Well, no, raw dairy.
Oh, raw dairy makes so good sense. Oh, my goodness.
But you know, that's the only category of food that's been made illegal.
But there are ways.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But now, how to deal with a low-carbohydrate diet. And this is the approach I like. And I say skip breakfast. And a lot of people say, skip breakfast. That's the most important meal of the day. I don't know. I think that saying was designed by Kellogg's. But
well, maybe it's the most important meal of the day because you need to get your metabolism started. And maybe because you want to do that intermittent fasting, perhaps you need to eat breakfast. Perhaps you need to eat lunch, and then you're done.
Okay, so intermittent fasting really means eating only during an 8-hour window each day. What does that do? It helps fight obesity. Helps control type 2 diabetes, both of which are risk factors for high blood pressure. And it's going to have positive effects on your insulin sensitivity. I mean, only good things can be said about it. And skipping breakfast is the way I like to do it. So you make lunch breakfast. So you're not really, if you look at it that way, you're not skipping breakfast. You're just delaying breakfast. So you have breakfast at lunch. And because that gives your body a whole chance to get your blood sugar and insulin under control. But if you really must eat first thing in the morning, and we'll call that breakfast. Let's say you eat at 8 o'clock in the morning. You got to stop eating at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
So you decide which way you like better.
Right.
What do you like? Maybe having your first meal at noontime and finish eating by 8 o'clock.
Right.
But it's the 8 hour window to eat, and gives your body 16 hours to work on itself. Now, they didn't mention in the study, of course, vitamin D levels. Vitamin D can play a role in atherosclerosis and therefore arterial stiffness. We mentioned earlier, it's arterial stiffness that raises blood pressure also. Sugar can be a contributing factor to arterial stiffness. So you want to do things that can improve the arterial elasticity.
I'm going to say, Dr. Slavin, you mentioned a decrease in white blood cells when you withdrew from certain blood pressure medications.
Not withdrew, while you're taking it.
While you're taking it. Okay, I misunderstood. Vitamin D is crucially important for people taking blood pressure lowering medications, because that vitamin D is going to be a support for your immune system. So theoretically, taking blood pressure lowering medications during the cold and flu season would make you more vulnerable because your white blood cell count was lower. And here's a natural, very comprehensive, beneficial support to your immune function. Vitamin D, you say people should be taking 10,000 IUs a day and then monitor their vitamin D blood levels. I pretty much start people who don't know what their vitamin D levels are at 5,000.
And, okay, another area to look at to lower your blood pressure is stress. You want to obviously reduce your stress. I think most of the stress we deal with on a daily basis is self-inflicted. I told this story before. I had a 95-year-old patient, and I asked him, what's the secret to your longevity? Because his labs, to tell you the truth, were not perfect. A lot of abnormalities there, but he was 95. He says, I don't worry about anything, was his answer.
Have you adopted that perspective, Dr. Slavin, that you don't worry, or you understand, you focus on what the thing is that potentially could create stress in your life, and then you say, I can do something about it, I can't do something about it, I accept what is.
Well, that's true, and another way to look at it is do not create unrealistic expectations. Because that's how you create stress.
That's so zen, Dr. Slavin.
Really? Okay. But that's really the key. I mean, if you think about it, something is stressing you out, then wait a second. You say, but that's unrealistic to think that that's the way it should be. For example, if you're driving along and you expect every driver on the road to be polite, you're going to be constantly stressed out. On the other hand, if you expect every driver to be impolite, as it seems to be more and more the case in South Florida, where they cut you off and you know don't let you in or change lanes or whatever. Okay, that's the way it is. And you were telling me that story about yourself, right? How you changed your driving techniques.
I have changed my driving techniques, yes, and dramatically reduced stress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Another area to lower blood pressure, normalize your omega-6 to 3 ratios. Now, everybody, we always talk about omega-3s, and the reason for that is the ratio between the two should really be 1 to 1. But in the standard American diet, the ratio is more 20 to 1 in favor of the omega-6s. Omega-6s increase inflammation, probably stiffening of the arterial walls. So you have to have a lot of omega-3s to restore that balance.
And I tell people all the time, because it is a given that that ratio is incorrect, dramatically unbalanced, that you really want true omega-3. You don't necessarily want to supplement with omega-369. You've already got too much 6, too much omega-9, and what you're deficient in. The very thing that's going to reduce inflammation and reduce arterial stiffness is omega-3.
Another area to consider is optimize your gut flora. You know, I don't know, people should do that on a regular basis.
Okay.
You know, it's not enough to say, well, I did it for a week and I'll stop. Our gut flora is not self-perpetuating. You've got to constantly replace it.
I tell people a tablespoon or two of sauerkraut every day. High quality sauerkraut is absolutely full of the beneficial bacteria that are going to reestablish the effective colonies of probiotics in your gut.
Eliminate caffeine. If you're suffering from high blood pressure, it may be worth trying to eliminate caffeine.
Some people are sensitive to caffeine. Yeah. Other people, it does not have as dramatic a physiological effect. It will have a brain effect, but not necessarily the physical effect.
And just real fast, vitamin C and E, the studies done regarding those vitamins have been shown to be helpful in lowering blood pressure. Olive leaf extract has also been shown to play a role. And increasing nitric oxide, which is, there's been a Nobel Prize in Medicine awarded to that research. Only in the last couple of years it's really come out. And what are ways to raise nitric oxide? I hear the commercial on TV for the beets. The powdered beets, you know, the...
That's interesting because I routinely recommend beets, beet juice, and beet powders, but I do that for benefits to your liver. And we are out of time here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I've been talking with Dr. Herb Slavin, and all of this information has been brought to you by Advanced Medical Testing Centers, and you can find information about Advanced Medical Testing Centers at naturaldocradio.com. We'll be back tomorrow right here on WNN 1470 from 10 to 11. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, everybody.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.